he's a good driver?
I got saved 5 times on the way up here. Now, Terry is a good driver, and I told a preacher several years ago, I said, I can't come to that meeting unless I have somebody drive for me, because it just wears me out to drive. So I asked Terry to come, and so he's been gracious to come and drive, and I appreciate he's a good driver. And anyway, we're glad to be here, Bruce. I appreciate you inviting us back. Glad to see Brother Mike Ramsey. He's a graduate of our college. Glad to see you, Brother Mike. I thought I was going to be the ugliest one here, but you are such a blessing. But anyway, he and my wife all used to give him a hard time there at school, but anyway, and she's a people person, but we have been married 60 years. This year was married 60 years. And the way you do it, somebody said, hey, stay married that long. I said, a man has to decide if he's going to be right or happy. I'm never right, so I decided to be happy. And she corrects me all the time. I mean, she corrects me all the time. See, I don't know if you ever studied temperaments, but I'm my way or the highway. That's the type of temperament. And she's a melancholy. She's a perfectionist. And we don't get along. But God keeps us together. So I thank the Lord for that. And so she's at home tonight. And she works for the school. And I told her, I said, be sure and keep your pistol in your pocketbook. She'd shoot somebody. I told her, I said, don't ever break in on my wife. I said, she will kill you. When she took the concealed weapon permit, I've got a .45 Ruger, and man, she was hitting that thing. That guy said, you better hope she never gets mad at you, preacher. Said, she'll kill you. But if you come to our house, when you come to the door, there's a .38 in a drawer. There's a .357 Ruger with a loophole scope on the top of the refrigerator. And you go in the back bedroom on the deer rack there, I've got a cut-off 12-gauge shotgun pump with 5 shells in it. And then on top of that, she's got another .38 that she keeps right beside the bed. So I think she's pretty safe. In fact, I call before I go home. I said, I'm coming home. You all right, huh? I'm coming home. Because I don't want to get shot, especially I don't want to get shot by my wife. That'd be a bad way to go. And well, I told the preacher, and y'all really pray, because this is really... I called a preacher before this week, and I've got a man that's dying right now. He's in hospice care at home, and I won this man to the Lord about 2 months ago. One of the meanest men I've ever met in my life. Long hair, long beard, all drink, cuss. And I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and he'd just start cussing, so I finally just quit. And I started building a relationship with him. And one Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, I get a phone call. I was already up. But I got a phone call. His daughter said, Daddy wants you to come down here. I said, why? She said, he wants to get saved. And I went down, and that old man got saved. 66 years old, I believe he is, got saved. And he said, after he got saved, he said, well, I guess I need to get dipped. What do you mean, baptized? I said, well, if you get to church, I said, we'll baptize you. And then when he's in the hospital, having knee surgery, found out he had stomach cancer in the 4th stage. Now he's dying. And so I'm hoping, I want him to live, but I want to stay here all week long. I really do. But if they call, I'm going to have to go home because he wants me to preach his funeral. And I asked his daughter, I said, Denise, I said, I'm going to be down there. I said, she said, preacher, Daddy wants you to preach his funeral. I said, why? He said, any man that can come to my house on Sunday morning at 5 o'clock and lead me to the Lord, he's going to preach my funeral. And so he got saved. I had another 70-year-old man got saved week 4 last. And so I don't know, it's because I'm old. I'm getting, have influence with people. But thank you so much. And Terry, I tell you, my brother, I tell you, I've wrestled about what to preach for 7.5 hours riding down the road. And I couldn't get settled till Dakota preached today. And when he preached, boy, God nailed it down, said, that's what I want you to preach. I want you to take your Bibles in the book of Matthew. By the way, if you want to go to school, we have a good college We have all the way from a Bible diploma up through a doctor's degree. We're accredited. I've written 106 lesson books on every subject you can think about. You can choose your own subjects. And nobody has a problem. You know what those preachers have a problem with? Writing those theses. They don't like to write a thesis. But I'm not going to give them a degree unless they write a thesis. Praise God. How about that? And we've got about a little over 400, probably close to 500 students online. That's what we're doing now. It's completely online. Some correspondence, but most people are, know how to work a computer, and so they'll, and we can do it right there online. They can email it to us. We can grade it, email it back. The only thing we have to mail out is the textbooks. The lesson books I've written are online. And so it's MacedoniaBaptistCollege.org. Look it up. And if you want a good education, we only charge $15 an hour through a bachelor's degree. Master's and doctorate is $30 an hour. And we're doing it. I started at 91 because I wanted to help preachers that couldn't go to school, were working and couldn't go to school, or maybe, old and couldn't go to school. I've got a man right now that's in his 90s taking courses. And he said, well, I don't need it, but he said, I just want to learn more. I just want to learn more. Can you imagine that? 90-something years old. All right, Matthew chapter number 5. There it is. Let's all stand in reverence to the King James Bible, the Bible God uses. Now, don't come up here and try to straighten me out on that. You can't handle it. Is there anything I know? I know the King James is the Word of God, and God uses it. Matthew chapter 5, and then I will read also James chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. This is not a starting off message. This is one I was going to preach like tomorrow, Wednesday, but God said that man may die, and said, you need to preach this message this week. So I'm going to preach it here on Monday night. And so you just pray about it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger, notice this, of hell fire. Then the book of James chapter 3 said, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. God said his tongue is set on fire of hell. Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Father, I thank you for Brother Roger. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the good preaching we've heard today. And God, how it inspired us, how it instructed us, how it provoked us to study. I pray tonight to help us. Now, I need strength. I need clearness of mind, clearness of voice. But of everything else, I pray for the power of God to be upon us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to use that hell fire. He said, shall be in danger of hell fire. And the Bible said in James, and is set on fire of hell. Been married 6 years. It does not matter how bad it gets out here in the world. I can't believe I have people sick. People said bad things about me. But you know what? I live at 9722 Highway 61, Midland, North Carolina, 2807. No matter how bad it gets out there, I'm glad that when I ride down that driveway, I got a wife waiting on me, and we have a little heaven on earth. I'm glad you can have a little heaven on earth. But the Bible tells us here that you can be saved, live on hell. Live in hell. On earth. Have you ever heard anybody say, preacher, pray for me, I'm living on hell, living in hell on earth? And they talk about things going on in the family. Did you know that it's very, very scriptural? That is very, very scriptural. The Bible tells us in some, I had cataract surgery, and I had to wear these old dumb reading glasses, and so I can't put them up like this. I put them like this, I can't see you. I put them down there, I can read notes. So if you use notes, you use a songbook. So if you quit using the songbook, I'll quit using notes. But the Bible said in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations forget God. You know what that simply means? That the nations that forget God, they'll take on the characteristics of people that are in hell. Look at America tonight. America has taken on the characteristics of people that are in hell. When you look at the word hell here and other places, Luke 16 talks about hell, and the Bible talks about, Judas went his own place down a Tartarus, and there's worse Tartarus and Hades and Gehenna, has been translated into hell. Now, I'm not trying to correct King James. I believe King James can work God. But I want to tell you what the Bible, the word hell, Luke 16, is translated word Hades. And here in Matthew 5 and James chapter 3 is translated from the word Gehenna. Now you say, preacher, why is that important? Well, Hades is a place that people go in time, while Gehenna is a place that people go to in eternity. Now, nobody saved goes to hell. Do you believe that? You're saved, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. But you may not go to hell, but you can be saved, and your home and your life can be a hell on earth. My wife, since I preached this several months ago, she's come to me and said, you know, that person, they're living in hell on earth. You know why? They're saved, but they're not obedient to the Word of God. And because of that, their family, their marriages, and their children are in such a mess that they're living in hell on earth. Now, when Jesus used this word Gehenna, he was looking across the valley there, at the valley of Hinnom. You know what that was? That was the garbage dump of Jerusalem. That was the trash pile of Jerusalem. And he looked out there and he saw all those maggots and he saw all those dogs out there. And he said, anybody that would call their brother a fool shall be in danger of hellfire. They'll be living in hell on earth. And the Bible says over there in the book of James that if you tell somebody to go to H, that you'll be in danger of hellfire. What does that mean? You could be saved and say things that's not right, and God said you'll live in hell on earth. It's amazing how that Jesus used that word to describe somebody that wasn't living right, that was saved, and yet they could be living in hell on earth. You see, Gehenna was not just a place, but it's a principle. And here somebody saved, when they're not living right, can live in hell on earth. I guarantee you know somebody tonight that goes to this church, goes to your church, or in your family, and they'll tell you without a shadow of a doubt that they're saved by the grace of God, but you know what? They're living in hell on earth. I tell my brother Terry, and I wrote down some things, and I'll have to erase it before I get back home. But I wrote down a couple in my church, and you know what? They've been there since I've been there, and they raised their children in church, but as soon as their children got graduated from college, every one of them left. They've gone to liberal school churches, and they're sitting under liberal preachers, and it's about to drive that mom and daddy crazy. You know why? That mom and daddy did not teach those kids right and did not lead them right, and because of that, mom and daddy are living in hell on earth. A lot of people live like that tonight. I thought about another couple in my church. I won the man to the Lord. The lady got saved in the church. And you know what? When they come up, they let their children just live anyway. And their girl married a boy that's not saved. And the boy went off to the army or Marine or something. And he does not live right. Stop the driving place. You know why? They're living in hell on earth because they have completely disobeyed God. I'm glad you don't have to live in hell on earth. I'm glad you can live in heaven on earth. Amen. I was thinking about how good God has been. My daddy was saved at 13, surrendered, preached when he was 13. And yeah. Terry and I are pastoring. In fact, Terry's pastoring my dad's church. My boy Jeremy's pastoring in Elkton, North Carolina. His boy Jeremiah is an evangelist, preaches every week. And then they got a little boy named Zeke, 6 years old. I'm hoping God will call him to preach. He needs to say, first of all, that's the meanest youngin' I've ever seen in my life. I told my wife, when those grandkids come to my house, I said, we'd beat the devil out of our kids if they did what those kids do. My grandma lets them do. I got
12 great relatives. And they'll come to our house and we'll let a drawer out, throw everything around, and she'll just laugh, think she's great. You know what's the happiest time in my life? When I see the taillight going down the driveway, going home. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Listen, you know what's so good? Listen, every one of my children say, every one of my grandchildren say, you listen to me, tonight all of them are going to the house of God, and we're not living in hell on earth, but we're living in heaven on earth. I'm glad if you live right and obey God and do right, that God will let you little have a little of heaven on earth. You know what, my wife, honestly, goodness, we've been married 6 years, and I've been preaching since I was 20, and you know what, I've never heard her say, I wish you'd quit preaching. I wish you'd resign the church. I wish we'd leave. But you know what she does? She's always encouraging me. She's always saying, I'll just hang in here. I got up. You know what? I'm not going to lie, all right? Can I tell the truth right now? I said last night, I don't want to go this week. I got arthritis. I said, I'm hurt. I said, it's 7.5 hour drive down there. I said, I'm in a street. And I said, I'll preach, stay in a motel. You know, if hotel bed don't sleep like your bed, amen. I got one in Tempur-Pedic. You say you're spoiled, yet you're not spoiled. Leave me alone, praise God. But I will tell you something about the truth. I told last night, I said, I don't believe I can go. I'm hurt. She said, get your lady hide off that bed. Hey, get in that car. You go down there to see if your dad's been married 6 years. He's not saved. Learned their truth. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, I want to do something. Leave church. Leave that Sunday. Leave that night. You can cover my mind. I'll tell you, if you may be saved and going to have this touchdown, if you're not obedient to what God will do, God will let you live in hell on earth. Now, Jesus was looking at the valley of Hinnom. And when he looked down there, he said, hell, fire. He said, that's a garbage stuff. That's your trash pile of Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, a lot of people tonight are living in the garbage pile. They're living in the trash pile. I want to tell you something. They're living in Gehenna, a hell on earth. No, God does not want us to live like that. God wants us to live in victory. Don't you believe that? I believe God wants us to scout victory, live victory. I believe God wants us to have a little heaven on earth. But you can't walk, you can't straddle a fence, and you can't walk down the middle of the road and do like you want to without living. You know what God will do? God knows how to chastise, and God knows how to scourge, and God will let you live in hell on earth. I know a man right now. He's got all kind of physical problems. And he came to church Sunday, and he's got another physical problem. He's going to have all kind of surgery. And you know what? I want to look at him and say, you know what? I don't know too much, but it looks like the way that you're living, it might be that God's letting you experience a little hell on earth because of the way that you're living. There may be somebody tonight you know that's living in hell or on earth. You know, that's all the way through the Bible. It's a biblical principle all the way through the Bible. I mean, when people lived out of the will of God and get out of the work of God and don't walk in the ways of God, you know what they'll do? They'll live in a little hell on earth. Look at Adam and Eve. You know where they were? In the Garden of Eden. They was in paradise, but paradise became a briar patch. You know why? Because Eve and Adam rebelled against God, and God drove them out of the garden, and they began to live a little hell on earth. And one of their boys became a rebel, Cain, and he lived on hell on earth. He said, I'm living a terrible life. Things are all against me. You know what? When you live like that, you get filled. You listen, when you live in disobedience to the will of God, there's going to be a dump truck going to back up to your door, and God's going to let you live in the garbage pile and the dump pile, and He's going to let you live in hell on earth down here. Now, the Bible tells us, now, listen, just because you're saved does not mean that you can live right. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 5 that if you call somebody thou fool, thou shalt be in danger of hellfire. You don't go to hell because you call somebody a fool. And in James, he said, if you consign somebody to hell,
He said, you'll be set on fire of hell. Your tongue will be set on fire of hell. A lot of people are gossiping. A lot of people, you know, saying things and doing things, and they say they're saved, and then they're wondering why they're having such a hard time. It may be that God's letting you live in a little hell on earth because of the way that you've been talking, because of the way that you've been living. The Bible said, he said, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it fouled the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire of hell. And the word hell, if you look it up, is Gehenna. It's a trash pile. It's a dump pile of Jerusalem. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of folks come to church, but when they get out of the house of God, they do things and say things in such a way that there causes God to let them live in a little hell on earth. You see, that Gehenna principle is when somebody lives outside the will of God. It's when somebody lives out of harmony with God. And when a man or woman steps out into disobedience, that moving truck drives up and they're moved into the valley of Gehenna, the trash pile, the dump pile, the garbage dump of hell. Did you know, I've seen a lot of parents that don't live right. And because they don't live right, they just live a second. You know how they are. You know how they are. You've got them here. I've got them. They just come Sunday morning, but they don't come back Sunday night, or they don't come back Wednesday tonight, or if you try to have revival. I preached on revival this yesterday because next Monday my grandson is helping us in revival, Jeremiah. And I said, you know what? Some of y'all will not come every night of the week. And I would say, I said, the church chain is no stronger than its weakest link. And I said, if we do not have revival, it's going to be your fault. You know why? Because they're living in hell on earth. You say, preacher, that's not a biblical principle. It sure is. You take King Saul. I believe King Saul was a saved man. But he rebelled against God. And he consorted with a witch. And he began to live a disobedient life. And he rebelled against the direct command of God. God told him to kill Agag. God told him to destroy the enemy. But he did not. He did not do that. And he lived a miserable life. You know how he died? He fell on his own sword. He committed suicide. You say, preacher, you believe a saved man can commit suicide? Yes, I do. I believe a lot of times saved people get under more pressure because they're living a life of disobedience, and God can let them wind up living in a hell on earth. You like King David. He was a man after God's own heart. Amen or not? I mean, King David that wrote that great psalmist, that great harpist, that great man that could play the harp and cool that evil spirit in King Saul. And you know, here was the man of God, the king of Israel. But you know what? His selfishness led to sin. He looked upon Bathsheba and lusted after and had her husband Uriah killed. And when he did that, Nathan came back and said, the sword shall never depart from your house. And you know what? You say, preacher, why haven't David? From that time on, David started living in a hell on earth. You know how he died? He died with a venereal disease. He died in an isolation ward. Here's God's man, a man after God's own heart. He ends up his life with a venereal disease, living in an isolation ward. He's living a hell on earth. God's great man, King David. And then King David had a son. His name was Solomon. Solomon's probably the greatest king of Israel, built buildings and led Israel into that golden age. But you know, the Bible tells us he married so many women. I think when he married his 1,000th wife, he said, honey, you're 1 in 1,000. But here he was. Now listen, he let a woman lead him to die a miserable death. And he wound up living in Gehenna. He wound up living, I want to tell you, hell on earth. I want to tell you something. Now, you listen to me. Some of you men need to watch some of these women. Some of you women need to watch some of these men. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you something. You can let some woman, you can let some man ruin your marriage, ruin your church, and you can live the rest of your life a hell on earth. Now, you look at me. I'm 79. Would you believe at the age of 79, that people, women still flirt with me? Let me tell you what a woman did in our church the other day. She's not married. I was sitting here, my wife was sitting right there, and she was sitting right there. And right there in front of God and my wife and me, she winked at me while I was talking to her. And you know what I do? When she comes in one side of the church, I come in the other side of the church. I don't shake her hand. I don't have anything to do with her. Why? I don't want to wind up my life living in a hell on earth. Come on, preacher. I'm a preacher, and you listen to me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all are going to wind up living a hell on earth. You better watch how you talk to women at work. You better watch how you hug women. Now, you're looking at me. Now, listen, I'm old. But I don't hug women. I tell my church, I said, I'm not going to hug your wife, and don't you hug mine. I have a problem with these preachers going around trying to hug every woman in the church. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. I'm a preaching. Amen. You say, well, you won't preach another night. Yeah, but I'm gonna nail her to the wall tonight. Amen? You know why? I don't want your phone. I don't want your church to become a hell on earth. There's nothing the world can ruin a church anymore than sin in the camp. And it could cause you to live a hell on earth. It's all the way through the Bible. That prodigal son and that elder brother, both of them that belonged to the father, both of them were living in a world of Gehenna. Both of them wound up living in a hell on earth. The youngest son went away to Gehenna and wasted his substance in righteous living, but the older boy stayed at home. And when he stayed at home, he got as much trouble at home with an old self-righteous spirit as the one who's way out yonder in the far country. Amen? I want to tell you, a lot of people in our churches are living such a self-righteous life. I went a man to the Lord, and I said, I want you to come to church and get baptized. He said, I come to your church, but I'm not going to come to your church as long as my mother goes there. Can you believe that? She said she thinks she's right and everybody else is wrong. You know what that family right now, I'm looking at that family right now, that family is so divided, and that family is so living a life of sin that they're living in a hell on earth. You know what I'm glad? President Bush, you know what he said? He said, there's one thing, the first one. He said, there's one thing that makes me happy. All my children still want to come home. I thought, dang, that's nothing. If my daddy was a millionaire, I'd come home too. But I'm glad tonight all my children still want to come home. My grandchildren still want to come home. In fact, my grandson, he's a computer expert, and we had to change all the computers in the Bible college. He came there and helped us to do it. And my wife bragged on me. You know what my grandson did? He hugged his grandma. It's all right for him to hug his grandma. But I want to tell you what I looked at that. And I said, thank God. I'm glad that Luke loves to come to our house. I'm glad that my children love to come to my house. I'm glad my grandchildren love to come. I'm glad my great-grandchildren love to come. In fact, that little boy I call Zeke, there's a devil. He likes to come to my house and ride grandpa's old 1937 John Deere tractor. He's a John Deere man. He's John Deere. But you know what I'm saying? We have a little heaven on earth. But it can become a hell on earth easily if you live in a life of disobedience. You see, hell is not a location solely. But hell, Gehenna, the hell that now is a mindset. Gehenna, the place of fire, is anywhere that you're not in true harmony with God in this life as a child of God. He said, if you call somebody a fool, he said, you're living in Gehenna. If you call somebody and make fun of somebody, he said, you'll live in hell on earth right now. Did you know, I believe a lot of families tonight are living in a hell on earth. I wonder if we're sitting in the back seat of the car as some members come to church on Sunday or come to this revival, or leave and go home. I wonder if they're fussing and fighting before we get out of Tomcat Road. Fight like tomcats on Tomcat Road. Amen? But you know what it is? I don't want to live like that. You can listen, if you're living in a hell on earth, your children will probably not get saved. If they are saved, they'll probably get just as bad as you are. And their marriages will be broken up, their children, your grandchildren. And they'll have a mess and they're living in hell on earth. But you don't have to live like that. You can live like Enoch and walk with God. You could take like Noah. You could get the whole family safe inside the ark. You could look like Abraham. He said he chose to live for God. Because he chose to live for God, God blessed him with the people in this world. You can live like Joseph. You know what Joseph said? He said, I could get bitter, but I'm going to get better. He told his brother, said, you took my coat of many colors and lied about it and put blood in and tore it all up. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to put on the robe of love in place of that robe of hatred. I mean, you say, preacher, how can you live in heaven on earth? Just repent. Just say you're sorry. I told my daughters, Gwen and Cindy, my boys always got along pretty good, but Cindy and Gwen, they always did to each other. And one day they was in there arguing. And I said, Cindy, Gwen, stop right now. Sandy, tell your sister you're sorry. She looked at her and said, you're sorry. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want my children to live in the heaven on earth. I don't want my children to fuss and fight and quarrel. I want them to live in heaven on earth. You know what we've done? We've already started dividing up what we have among the children, saying, if you want this or that, you can have this or that. And Jeremy, my youngest son, I've got a 1970 Ford truck, 6-cylinder, 3 on the, 3-speed. And I said, told him the other day, I said, Jeremy, why don't you just go ahead and buy that truck and have it fixed up? He said, it'll be mine about 3 months anyway. You know what he's hoping? He's hoping I'll be dead in 3 months. And I said, buddy, I'm going to leave you out of the wheel. But you know what? They've got that set. I don't want to fight and fuss over anything we have after we're gone. I don't want to do that. I want them to have a heaven on earth. And the grandest thing in the world is when they come to Thanksgiving, when they come to Christmas, and we come in there and we're just hugging each other and loving. Isn't it good to have a family that loves each other and goes to church and loves the Bible and loves the Word of God? That's heaven on earth. Like I said, my wife, honest to goodness, married 60 years. You know what? When I get home this week, she'll meet me at the door. You know what she'll do? I need a hug. Been married 60 years and she still wants a hug. Isn't that wonderful? And she wants me to kiss her. She said, I'm the best kisser in the world. I don't know. I've never kissed anybody. Amen. You listen to me. I don't know where. I hope she hadn't. Amen. But I want to tell you something. You know what? We have a little heaven on earth. And I'm glad we don't have to have a hell on earth. But when you reject of God's word and God's way, then he'll let us walk into the valley of Gehenna. He'll let us walk into the garbage dump. They let us live in hell on earth. Just think about Adam and Eve. They went from paradise to the bride. They could leave the freedom to sell them for trade. They moved through the length. They go to the I don't know anybody how anybody feels tonight.
But I know that's it. I know I'll pass the church. I've been preaching it's 10 minutes. Next page is your home. It flashes on the light boards. Well, you're the one from church. He's praying.
We smile and shake hands, walk in, holding hands. But Lord, the truth is known. This past week, there's been some bad times down there at the house. I wonder, has it been a hell on earth? You know what I would do, Daddy? I would just take the reins in my home and say, you know, we're going to have a heaven on earth, not a hell on earth. And we're going to make this thing right. And I want my children to know that Mom and Dad love God, that Grandpa and Grandma love God. And they have a place, no matter what the world does, there's a certain address they know they can go to and find a little heaven on earth in the midst of this ungodly world. Preacher, you come, and I don't know how you want to give an invitation, but you just mind the Lord. When I minded the Lord tonight, I tried to mind the Lord tonight and preach what God told me. And I wasn't going to preach to this.
What about this? You know, they're home. They're home. Lot of hope. Let's go home. Help you. But see, leave out you. Heaven in your heart and in your home. Songs is playing the home.